Well, good morning to all of you. It's very nice to be with you once again this year at your wonderful Women's Weekend. Came in and I checked out the scene here, went back to that corner, and I found coffee, I found chocolate. This we're off to a great start. You know, you have some of these important things. Plus, you can't import something like that sunshine out there. And the lovely river behind us, so you have a lovely setting here. I want you ladies to know that we are trying to emulate your example in many ways as far as a weekend. You may be on number 15 or 16 or I don't know, I've long since lost count since you started them years ago, but we only have a fledgling beginning going on down in the Eugene area. This year will be number 3 for the men's weekend. And the first time, it was the job of encouraging and twisting arms. No, not that part. But encouraging the men to come because men are not as inclined to get together and this type of thing and share with one another. But we can learn and we can have an enjoyable time and benefit from it. We had 50-some the first year. I think it was 80-some or something of the highest. Somebody told me last year. I don't take the count on that, but this year we're hoping to break 100, at least on the Sabbath, if not the rest of the weekend. Well, hope that you are doing well. I have a familiar passage from the scripture to begin with. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. Does that sound like the right translation to you? Or does it sound right to hear, you have heard of the patience of Job? No worries, as they say in Australia, because either translation is quite fine. The word from the Greek, which is one of those unpronounceable ones, which ones are not, you know. I may attempt it a little bit later as I get braver as I go along here. But the word that's used in the Greek is translated sometimes in the New Testament as perseverance. Sometimes the same word is translated as patience, and other times it is translated as endurance. And think about it. They're all intertwined, aren't they? They're all a part of one another as far as those marvelous qualities. Well, James chapter 5, verse 11 is where the scripture is found, and let's begin there this morning. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 10, actually tends to introduce the thought. James 5, verse 10, "My brethren," James wrote, "take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." Those two need to go together. If we have suffering, then we need patience, don't we? We need endurance. We need perseverance. But we need those things not just for times of suffering, but throughout our lives. Verse 11 of James chapter 5 continues, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job." I'm reading the New King James. If you still have the one that the apostles used, you know, then you... No, not really. But if you have the old King James, then it says patience, right? "You have heard of the perseverance or the patience of Job, and you've seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." I think most of us, maybe most all of us, are quite familiar with the story of Job. I still have it etched in my mind as an assignment. I won't mention the instructor's name at Ambassador College decades ago. But he loved, at least that was my take on it, he loved to give us the assignment, an Old Testament survey, Job and I or Job and me. I think we had our choice in the title there, and that something of significance was supposed to be told how we decided to write a paper about that. Wasn't my favorite paper to write, but I learned that papers are not always exciting to write, that sometimes they are designed, at least in part, to get us to think more deeply, to analyze our lives. where we've been, where we are, and where we're hoping to go. Now, what about that example that's given here in the book of James? Think back to Job. He was a righteous man, wasn't he? You know, there's a passage in Ezekiel 14, verse 14. That's how I remember it, 14:14. For anything else, I wouldn't remember it, right? But Ezekiel 14:14 that talks about three particular men that were very righteous in God's eyes. God inspired Ezekiel to write that. Job was one of them. Anybody know who the others were? Oh, well. Daniel was another one, and Noah was another one. Now, the reason I mention this, ladies and a few of you gentlemen, is that sometimes I think that Job has gotten a raw deal, you know, in terms of looking back out there and saying, well, this was some self-righteous guy, wasn't it? Do you and I think that we've been through a tremendous amount? He was a righteous fellow. He was a human being, so he was not perfect. But you stop and think what he went through on day number one of his major trial. As I read that back in Job 1, it says he had seven sons and three daughters, and I believe all of them were killed the same day. We lose one loved one, and we only begin to understand one of the toughest, most difficult experiences in our lives. Now, he lost so much more in addition to that. And he didn't have someone telling him, well, you know, turn to this scripture and you'll read, you know, about what God is working on in your life. But he worked his way through it. And through the patience, through the endurance, through the perseverance that it helped to grow, or that it produced in his life, he undoubtedly accomplished much, not only back then, but for the future, however God decides to use him in the kingdom of God. He went through a tremendous amount. What did Job understand that helped him with this? We'll get into the body of this sermon in just a moment here, but in Job 14, verse 14, note that Job didn't lose his perspective of what life was all about. And that this is not the only life, that this is a time of training, sometimes of testing, of sometimes unbelievably, at least in our minds, difficulties, trials, problems for us to go through. And sometimes we wonder, why me? Well, Job seemed to have that question coming into his mind as well, but in spite of all the questions that came into his mind, look how resolute he was in regard to the future. Job 14, verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? Obviously, we could say the same thing for a lady, a woman. If a man dies, if a lady dies, or a woman die, is there life after death? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. Notice that he said, I will wait. I think one of the earmarks of our culture, of our society now, is the unwillingness to wait. We live in an instant society and culture, don't we? We want it now. We want our news, we want our weather, we want this and that, you know, and we have some of the means, technological gadgets and such, to obtain things so very quickly compared to years and years ago. What does it do sometimes, perhaps, if we allow it to our willingness to wait, to be patient, to endure, to persevere? If we're not careful, we can think, well, I've waited long enough. I've endured since yesterday, you know. I've persevered now. Well, we need to be aware of the things that we face and the challenges as well. He said, till my change comes, you shall call and I will answer you. Notice the expectation. Because this is where we're going to end up in this message. Something that perseverance does is it heightens the expectation for the future. And there's another word for that that we'll come to at the end of this message. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. There was self-worth. There was value because of what God places upon a human being. So Job had a lot of it together, didn't he? Now, at the end of his trial, what did he say? Remember that passage in Job 42, verse 6? You know, I've heard of you with the ear, just paraphrase it. Now my eye sees you, speaking figuratively, and I repent. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He wanted to change more spiritually. And this is a major thing that perseverance can help us to do in our lives. I've titled this split sermon message, Are We Developing Perseverance? Now, I've worded it that way because if you're like I am, sometimes you think of, well, I either have it or I don't, you know. I either have perseverance or I don't. I either have patience or I don't. I either have endurance or I don't. It's not that simple. Because these things come in degrees. We could have a little bit of patience. We could have a little bit of endurance, a little bit of perseverance, or we could have more than a little bit. In other words, we can grow in all of these qualities as God works with us. We certainly need to do our part in yielding to God so that He can work mightily in our lives. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1, this is the delight of being first to speak, that you get your choice of the scriptures. They're always usable, applicable in so many illustrations and ways. I'm just joking about that. But in James chapter 1, notice what the Apostle James said. He was addressing a group that were going through many trials. Going through trials is not something that makes a day. You know, it's not that, wow, you know, is this ever a day? More trials than I ever expected. No. It's like, what? I had this kind of thing last week or last month. A trial hit me not that long ago. Must have been just yesterday. What's it doing in my life today? My brethren, he said in James 1 verse 2, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials. Now obviously, James was addressing an audience that had God's Spirit available to them. You say this type of thing to those who, you know, only have this flesh and it's human might, and it's a rare audience that would pick up on this and say, count it all joy. Need to analyze that person. He thinks this is going to be enjoyable to go through something like that. Obviously, what James was saying is that there is something that this produces. There's something that is not just temporary, but something that will last into the awesome future that God has planned. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So we're going to look at, in the process of trying to answer our question to ourselves about are we developing perseverance in our lives, we're going to look at four facets that are involved in spiritual perseverance. The first one is faith. Notice what James said again. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The word, again, is that same interesting word. Let's see, am I brave enough now to try to pronounce that? No. I had something written out here to give me a clue. Well, I think I've got it right here. I can spell it easier than I can pronounce it. So increasing the bravery, H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E in our letters. Well, you knew that, right? H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. Hupomene is the best that I can make out from the indication of how to pronounce it in the Greek. It's number 5281 in Strong's and in Vine's. It has quite a meaning. Cheerful or hopeful endurance, patience, or perseverance. It's just a part of it, the essence of the meaning that I have found for this word. So again, it can be translated, and indeed is, sometimes as patience, sometimes as endurance, and sometimes as perseverance, trying to fit the thought and the use of it in the context in which it is found. Faith is the very beginning. Faith is the beginning of this. In Hebrews chapter 11, which we for good reason oftentimes call the faith chapter because of all the examples of living faith that are mentioned here. Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That runs contrary sometimes to the human mind that thinks, well, faith, you know, isn't that kind of nebulous? Isn't that like, you know, rubbing the old magic rabbit's foot? Somebody gave me one of those when I was a youngster, and I carried around very happily for a little while, and then somebody said, what are you doing with that dead thing? And I was done with that. I think I was 6 years old or something like that, but we had plenty of rabbits on the farm, so maybe that's where some of them ended up, in rabbits' feet. Now, faith is a substance. Margin in the New King James says, the realization. It's as good as done. In other words, if God has said it, God has promised it, it will not fail. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. The margin in the New King James for this says confidence of things not seen. Faith is so essential that in verse 6 of Hebrews 11 we read, without faith it is impossible to please him. Referring to God. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, this is the foundation for so much in our spiritual lives, including for perseverance. If we're lacking in faith, then on down the line, as one builds on the other, faith on faith, you build and you build. You'll see that in a few minutes. We're going to be in big trouble. So here's the foundation spiritually. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Perseverance gives us great opportunity to diligently seek God. His action, his guidance, his direction, his intervention in our lives. Now, this first element, again, is faith, and I'm not going to have a lot of additional time to spend on it, but, again, it is so valuable that if we don't have this, it's not going to be surprising that we're going to struggle tremendously with having patience, endurance, and perseverance, because it's got to be anchored, that foundation of that faith in Almighty God and in Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the second one. Second one of these elements is tenacity. Now, we don't use the word too much, it seems to me, in English anymore. I remember reading it in some things that go back in literature a lot more than I have in recent decades and all, but tenacity is still a word in the English dictionary among the 1 million? How many are there words in the English dictionary? Bring along unabridged and we'll find out. Well, the second quality of spiritual perseverance is tenacity. Tenacity. Dictionary, Mr. Webster and his wife, Mrs. Webster, right? Webster's dictionary says for tenacity, holding on. For tenacious, you know, we're not giving up. We're just, you have a tenacious grip. You're holding on. You're clinging. Our problem with that definition is sometimes we think, well, that's all we need to do, just hold on. Just hold on. But it isn't. That's a part of what we need to do. And Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 9. It's a passage to illustrate this. In Luke chapter 11, Luke 11, verse 5. And he, Jesus, said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves? You might wonder why he's going at midnight. I'm not quite sure. Maybe insomnia has something to do with it. As the years go by, you know, we wake up at midnight. If I had a rooster, I think I'd hear him crow at every hour, but I don't have one, thankfully. But he says, friend, at midnight he goes to this individual and he says to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey. Maybe been traveling quite a bit, just arrived. And I have nothing to set before him. Notice they didn't text him in advance. I'm on the way, you know. Instant communication. You know? And I'm rounding the bend. I'll be at your place in a few minutes. Didn't even have a old telephone. You know, one of those with a party line, you know, and you wait. How long can those people talk before I get on there, you know? Who knows? But he will answer within, and he'll say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. This is the way it's translated in the New King James in this verse. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So it makes a difference, doesn't it? And God must delight to see that tenacity, that persistence, that hanging on, clinging on in our lives. A third of the four facets is stamina. Hebrews chapter 12. You probably just knew I'd have to go to this passage. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, seems to be a direct reference to what he's mentioned. The writer, some question it, I still think it was the Apostle Paul who was writing this letter of epistle to the Hebrews. But nonetheless, what we have later had divided into chapters and verses. So today we read it in Hebrews chapter 11 about outstanding examples of men and women who had living faith. This is the background for what he's saying and referring to. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. New King James, I'm reading. Endurance, Old King James. And if you have the Old King James, patience is what I believe the Old King James says in this verse. Let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. Now, stamina is another way to say endurance, isn't it? The race, the spiritual race that's described in the Bible, is not a sprint. It's not dependent on who's the fastest out of the starting blocks. You know, if you've watched the Olympics and the men and the women who have trained, and yeah, I've seen some of the Winter Olympics just the last week or two, but I'm thinking more of the Summer Olympics and those sprint races. Wow, they come out of those blocks just incredibly fast. And this one fellow from Jamaica can just accelerate. He's, what, 6 feet, 5 inches tall or something? Something like that, and yet he can run unbelievably fast. But that's not the kind of race we're talking about, the sprint. How would he do in the marathon? I suppose not too well. Just guessing. Because it's a different set of skills and abilities there. And it is the long haul, it's a long race that the Bible is referring to. The number of times that it mentions about a spiritual race and, you know, running that we can obtain, like the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. How is that? Looking. We're looking ahead. Expectation. You know, one of the dreaded things, I've had a couple of coaches early in life that mentioned this to a group of us. One of the things that the coach doesn't want to see is a guy or a gal who's looking behind. They're currently out in front, but they look behind, and you know what happens? What tends to happen is you say, whoa, they're gaining, you know. They look fresh. They look like they're just filled with energy. Yeah. And that can make the difference right there. But looking, as the verse tells us here, looking unto Jesus. So it's looking ahead into the example of Christ, the author and finisher of the faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the third one, again, is stamina. Dictionary definition of that is endurance, resistance to fatigue, illness, or hardship. The one particular Webster's Dictionary that I looked in said that. It said endurance for the word stamina, for the third one here, the third facet. It said endurance, resistance to fatigue, illness, or hardship. Now the fourth one, the fourth facet involved in spiritual perseverance, courage. Courage. Remember the example of Joshua? He had been the assistant to Moses for years. You read about him in that role. You know, he's there different times, and Moses is the leader, the main leader, and then Joshua is there with him all the way through to the end of the 40 years and time for Moses to die, and then time for Joshua, as chosen by God, to step up. What was he told in particular? Time after time in Joshua chapter 1, about three times, God repeats it to him, be strong and be of good courage. I will be with you. That helps us to be patient. It helps us to endure. It helps us to continue to grow in perseverance. If we accept the strength of God, that courage that we, in so many cases, may not have that much of ourselves. It may be much more a case of yielding to God and allowing God to do what only He can do. Examples like David, you know, facing Goliath. You ever read that story? Is it what, 1 Samuel 17, I think? Ever read that and wondered, oh, how did David know that God was going to use him? Well, he had this faith in God, and God had worked in his life in other ways as he was, you know, shepherding the sheep for his dad. He had this ongoing relationship with God, and he was stirred up. He was moved by this Gentile giant of a man. Perhaps somewhere, if we have any idea, in the size of a cubit, you know, who uses a cubit anymore? I think there's one that's about 18 inches and one that's 21 to 21 and a half, something like that. And by either measurement, but especially by the larger one, he was a very big man, tall, huge, strong, muscular. Nothing, however, compared to the strength of God and what God did in guiding David to prevail against Goliath. So courage is a major part as well. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. I think Luke has a different way of wording a little bit of this in regard to the explanation of the parable of the sower and the seed. In Luke chapter 8, notice this. Luke chapter 8, he's talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. He says the seed is the word of God, verse 11 of Luke 8. Verse 12, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation or testing, fall away. Quite a lesson to learn from what Christ was explaining at this point. In verse 14, and the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Notice that. Bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, it's receptive to God working for God's lead through the power of His Spirit. Having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Here's this word, once again, with patience, or with endurance, or with perseverance. One final scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, the word that I referred to when I kept saying expectation, the word is hope. That's what hope is. It's a great expectation in what God has promised. And that hope is referred to in a number of passages, and this is one of them, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Whoops, went past 2 Peter. That won't work. See what's happened. These are the pages that have been used a lot. They just... Good thing there's not a fan blowing up here, because these have kind of separated themselves from the rest of the word. Put them back in place. There we go. Then 2 Peter chapter 1. They need to be rooted and grounded, don't they? 2 Peter chapter 1, and it says, verse 5, 2 Peter 1, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Think about that. It takes diligence in our lives, doesn't it? Add to your faith. Here's the starting point again, the foundation. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Another one that is evanescent in society around us. You know, it's sort of disappeared, hasn't it? Who has self-control? Well, hopefully you and I, as part of the people of God, are growing in self-control. And notice the next thing. And to self-control, perseverance. Reading in the New King James. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. That agape love of God. So we've seen just a little bit of this subject, of the wonderful theme that you ladies have selected for your weekend. Perseverance is a great one, isn't it? Because there's so many lessons there. So many lessons that we can learn. So much that we can do. And one of the things, again, I've been trying to illustrate is that it's a work in progress. That God is producing, He's growing, if we want to use that term, perseverance spiritually in our lives, if we allow Him. If we don't simply grit our teeth and say, I'll get through this. But if we look beyond and think about what this is going to do, not only now, for the rest of our lives, but in the time to come. So I have a wonderful weekend in working with this theme, and I know it'll be woven very skillfully by speeches, by discussions, by many things that you have planned for today, tonight, and tomorrow. It's a great theme. And think about what spiritual perseverance can do in your life, in my life, if we will let God help us to grow in this important area.